Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 4, Episode 8, The Jazza Guy. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who loves to pop the cork on some champagne. Stuart, how are you?
Only when I'm not going to impose. I'm good, thanks, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about this episode. We're going to get into the bumpkin of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny being a jazz guy. And, of course, like the lovely David and Stevie relationship. I'm excited to talk about that because they just a little spa trip together. So cute.
That's a just very cute trip that didn't go wrong at all. Not in the slightest. It's fine.
No, free amenities, please. What's so sad about that? Nothing.
I mean, nothing sad about that, except for when you've kind of got to perform for them.
Yeah, not a fan of that. I don't want people clapping for me for literally any reason ever.
No, even if I've done something well, don't clap.
Just leave nod approvingly.
Give a 5-star review, but don't clap.
Thank you. Yes, 5-star reviews always appreciated. Never clap at us. Yes, if I sound sickly, I might be coming down with something. So I apologize. If you're watching us on YouTube and you see me coughing, but you don't hear it, just know that I've hit the mute button in time. So lucky you.
I just love it. The incentive for people to go check us out on YouTube is just go see how sick Jess looks.
Like, he's come look at her. Dying. She looks in like the background on mute. Shit. Yeah. Just see how awful I look. No, I really look the same as I usually do, which means my hair is a mess and I'm here. That's it.
Working from home.
Working from home. Yes. So we're talking about the Jazza Guy. I gotta be honest, Stuart, last week when we were talking about, oh, this is the next episode we're covering, I remembered obviously like the Johnny as a Jazza Guy storyline because it's in the title, but the rest of it I didn't remember. Like, I'm like, I don't really remember what the heck the next thing that happens on Schitt's Creek is. And I ended up like really liking it, actually.
Mm-hmm. A lot happens in this one. I feel like they kind of like crammed it weirdly without it not feeling like too rushed or anything. I felt like there a lot of little progressions with like relationships and emotions and kind of settling in and letting things bake a little, which I really appreciated.
Also, were you surprised that we didn't get the resolution between like Patrick and David this episode?
A little. I feel like that's being drawn out a little bit, but I guess I'm not sure if it's the kind of thing that we are getting, like it is the resolution because we know that they were texting. And that Patrick knew where they were. So, like,
and he
I
sent
feel
them
like.
Wine. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're still talking and you're still sending wine and going along with, like, the shenanigans of what they're up to, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's just the formality of just being like, oh, I guess we have to make up. Like, I suppose.
Are like, you a David in this situation where you're like, I'll text you, but, like, I'm still going to sulk and, like, be moody about it?
I don't know. Not really. I'm more like if I'm texting you, I'm just like, it's over, it's done with. If I've got a grudge, you're gonna know.
Yeah, like, I need to know. Are you a grudge holder? Do you hold like massive grudges? Like if someone wronged you in like the third grade, do you still remember it and hold a grudge against that person?
I still remember it. I don't hold grudges. Okay. But I'm the kind of person that would deflect anything with humor anyway, so I think I'd probably turn it into one of these awkward jokes that I will constantly make and then constantly remind them of.
Oh, that's
and
awful.
That would be, and then I turn into the arsehole where I'm just like, remember
punishment.
That thing you did that was really minor that I just keep bringing up and keep making a big deal that's not a big deal? They're like, yes. And I'm like, yeah, that.
Oh
they go,
God.
I hate you, Stuart.
Yeah, and then they rightfully hate you for it, so.
Yeah.
Look at that, how the tables have turned.
Yeah. I need therapy.
I thought that's what this podcast was. No?
No, I told you, I'm not billing for this. For you. It was not couples therapy when Will was on. There's no way this can turn into therapy. It's not happening.
All right. Well, let's do a quick little episode recap here at the top to remind people what happened this episode. Pop the cork on some champagne. and dive into your lover's curry. So we discuss season 4, episode 8, The Jazz Guy. Alexis decides to try the latest dating app, Bumpkin, under the guise of helping Twyla find a new beau. She matches with sexy vet Miguel, but things go south when he decides it would be inappropriate to date his competition's ex-fiance. Like, all right, Miguel. David's love life is also struggling as he hasn't made up with Patrick after the secret fiance scandal. In an effort to pull him out of his funk, Stevie invites him on a spa trip. It gets weird when, in order to get free perks and extras, Stevie says they're newlyweds. The spa loves a newlywed couple and showers them with just so much love and attention. Moira doesn't appreciate Johnny ditching her for lunch due to his work at the motel, and in order to make it up to her, he joins her at her Jazz Gals rehearsal. He's a natural baritone, and the gals want him to join permanently, but Moira decides that would be a step too far, and Johnny will have to take his lovely singing voice elsewhere. And that's our episode, Stuart.
Okay. I feel like I need to get this out of the way early. I didn't necessarily have to like go into this storyline immediately, but I just have to say this to get out of the way, because I think it's the one negative I'm ever going to say about the guy in this episode. He ditched her 3 times that week. That's so not on.
That's a lot of times to ditch a person. 3 times? Yeah. Like, that's grounds for divorce at that point.
Yeah, I feel like Moira is completely justified in having a bit of a kind of like... She addressed it really kind of well. She's just like, if we are keeping tally, like... 3 times, Johnny.
Yeah, and my question about this entire situation, right, is he says, I gave Stevie the day off. She hasn't had a day off in 14 days. Okay, well, if she hasn't had a day off in 14 days, and you've ditched Moira for lunch 3 times, the hell were you up to, Johnny?
I would absolutely guarantee that he has been off trying to find other golf courses and has been playing around or two. I don't know if... No, playing around, that's really bad. No, he's not playing around. Playing a round of golf, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But, I mean, that could be a possibility. I mean, what hobbies does Johnny have, really?
Fixing up grills that he doesn't understand how to operate.
Cooking awful sliders.
Burnt hockey puck sliders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I think what Johnny's doing is he's just, like, sitting in, like, the office, which is actually just the front desk. And, like, trying to come up with, like, really great ideas for the motel. And that's it.
You mean, like, he everything seems like that he guy... was doing in Bob's?
Yes. Like, he seems like a guy who can sit behind a desk and just think for a while. It sounds like my nightmare, but I think that's what he's doing.
Johnny is such a, like, pre-internet person of just, like, he doesn't have the dopamine fixation of like doom scrolling. He's perfectly content with just being chill and doing nothing.
What a monster. How does a person do that?
Okay. Johnny, hey, out of the way. That's out of the way though. Because I mean, he redeems himself really well, right? He comes out of this episode, I think, flying high. Dude had a belter of an episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Johnny, I think he's making the right decisions after he blows her off 3 times, right? Like, he surprises her at the Jazz Gals. He's like, I'm here. You were so right. Like, I like that he has taken what she says into account and is like, I don't want to go back to those days. Because as much as we enjoyed our life because we had tons of money, Moira was able to fill her time with other things because of the money they had. That's not true anymore. And I think all the roses would agree they are now closer as a result, both in physical proximity, but also like on an emotional level, because they are so, you know, in each other's lives more. And he doesn't want to lose that aspect of their relationship. So I loved him like showing up and surprising her at the Jazz Gals. And then we find out he can sing. And I just need more of Johnny and Ronnie together, like Johnny, Ronnie. They're so fun together. I want more of them hanging out and doing, I don't know, stuff.
Ronnie just seems to be a great, like, character for everyone to bounce off of. I don't think anyone really has bad scenes with Ronnie. Like, it's always just, it's not like proper knee-slapping humor and things. Like, Ronnie's just always there for a good chuckle and, like, a really good, like, kind of, like, quip or anything like that that just gets thrown in. I was quite surprised at how Johnny's voice, or at least like kind of adeptness at joining into what they were singing, really turned Ronnie completely 180, because Ronnie was like, I have perfect pitch, don't you mess this up for me. And then by the end, Ronnie was like basically in love with Johnny, being like, yeah, you're amazing.
Yeah. The side eye, I can only aspire to the level of side eye that Ronnie is giving Johnny when he first shows up. I love her so much. I just, and he's like, don't, I wouldn't want to, what is it? Yeah. It's so great. Yeah. The Jazzicals are so fun. They're like enjoying having Johnny around. They invite him to be a permanent member. I totally agree with where Moira is coming from. Like, in her mind, she only has so many passions in the town of Schitt's Creek. So if you're combining things, then it's going to take away from a different aspect of your life. Like, it's essentially like if you're hanging out with Johnny all the time, she's not going to be able to then meet up with him later and tell him about her day, because he's already going to know about her day. So it's better to have a little bit of separation between church and state, you know?
You gotta, I think, at times, like, really draw a line and, like, have some stuff for yourself. Like, you gotta carve out a bit of your life for you.
Yeah.
Can't share everything with everyone. But, like, again, like you said, it's like, how else are you gonna have conversations at the end of the day if they know exactly what you've been up to? Like, what do you talk about at that point? Why don't you just be the same person?
Yeah.
It's a bit dull. And, of course, like, Moira needs that more than most, I think, because she is very much a, like, spotlight.
I was just gonna say, I also feel like there's an aspect of, like, Moira is still kind of the new hotness in terms of the Jazzicals. Like, she's the newest member, I believe. I don't think we've had anybody else join since she joined. So now that we have Johnny, like, he's the new hotness. Like, she doesn't want to give up that spotlight, as much as it is very lovely to hear, like, compliments about your other half. It only goes so far, you know? Like, you still want, especially if you're someone who likes the limelight, you still want to be, like, number one in everyone else's eyes. You don't want, like, your, you know, partner coming in and, like, stealing the spotlight from you.
Yeah, I guess, like, it's, it, if you're the lead, it's okay to occasionally have a bit of a stunt casting cameo from someone come in, but they can't stick around. They got to F off, like, occasionally, because, like, no, it's your show. Like, it's the thing, you've got to pull focus. How are you going to do that if they're going to be sticking around taking up all the compliments?
Exactly. No, you have your own friends, Johnny. Get out of here. And he? She tells him that. Yeah, no, he doesn't. Bob, maybe.
Oh.
I think Roland is, like, his best friend, which is the saddest part.
Is it? I mean, Roland has done some nice things for him. He's done some nice things for Roland. Best friends is possibly a stretch, but I would go as far as to say they're friends.
Oh, certainly they're friends. At the very least, they're friends. But here's the thing, Stuart. I don't think I want to be friends with someone who, if I ask them to, like, clean a room for me, if I can't trust that they can clean a room, I truly just don't imagine I can be friends with that person. Because that just says something really bad about them. Like, that they're either disgusting or just, like, hopeless as a human.
Fair. I was just thinking of some of my friends and whether I would trust them to clean the room. But I think that's more down to them just being a little ADHD or just, you know, non-committal with things rather than being disgusting like Roland is. Because,
like, if I ask my friend for a favor or a task and they just simply cannot complete it, then it's like, really? Like, really? We're adults. Come on now. Like, you raised a full child. Like, you have an adult child. You can't clean?
Yeah, but did Roland really raise Mutt, though? Like, Jocelyn did all the work, which is kind of bad because really we should put a lot of blame on Jocelyn for Mutt, more so than what we do Roland, because I don't anticipate that Roland really raised Mutt, if that is the way in which... I don't know, maybe he was one of those kind of, I'm going to be there for, like, certain things, like, probably the kind of, like, stereotypical stuff. Oh, well, I'll go play ball with him and all of that stuff, but probably did none of the actual, you know, essential raising of the kid stuff.
Yeah. I do feel like I don't want to rag on Roland too much because I do feel like he was involved in his kid's life more, you know, like, in a, I'm trying to think of the way to put this. Like, I do feel like he took his job as a father seriously in that he was there for Mutt. We know they didn't have, like, the best relationship. I chalk that up a bit more, though, to as Mutt became an adult. I feel like their relationship probably deteriorated significantly because Roland wanted him to follow in his footsteps and Mutt didn't want that. But yet Roland just is like a little bit of a mess of a human being. And I mean, I love mess, but like when it comes to friendships, not so much. Yeah. I mean, drama mess is fun if it's not about me and if I get to hear about it.
Hence why you'd want to be friends with Moira and not Roland, which I think makes
definitely
sense.
Yeah, but no, I would be like loose friends with Moira. I think we would clash in terms of the spotlight, like, you know.
Oh really?
I think so.
You'd be coming for a gig.
I don't want the spotlight all the time, but I do want it some of the time, and Moira is like never gonna let anybody else have the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
So but yeah, and I like that Johnny does understand this. He's like, you know what? Okay, that's fine. But my biggest question, and this is a stupid question to have, but like when they go to the cafe after the rehearsal and they're all getting drinks, obviously I understand why Jocelyn is drinking lemonade, right? But why can't Moira have like a martini or a Cosmo or whatever the heck they were drinking? Why does she have to have lemonade?
I don't know, actually. I never really gave that any bit of thought.
Why are baritones the only ones allowed to have a little booze?
Maybe it's just like kind of they'd chosen to just act like, I think maybe like Johnny's like kind of getting wrapped up with the whole like, oh, I need to ingratiate myself with everyone, so I'm going to go along with what Ronnie ordered. And then it becomes this thing. You know how like everyone's like, yeah, we're a group and we're anti you kind of thing. It becomes stupidly, weirdly tribal. Possibly that. I don't think it's, I don't know. They're not foreshadowing anything because Moira's not pregnant. We're not going to have double baby on this show, are we? That'd be wild.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
So yeah, so that's what we've got for Moira and Johnny. Where do you want to go to next? Do you want to talk about Alexis's dating or David and Stevie's spa trip?
We could talk about the dumpster fire that is Alexis's dating life. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, Bumpkin. Never would I ever use an app called Bumpkin in my life.
No. And because especially like the word Bumpkin as well is a choice. But also in the reference of dating, bump, kin, in a very kind of like low population area. Probably not
kissing
advisable,
cousins.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that. Don't
no.
be kissing cousins, people.
The way Alexis describes it too, it's like, oh, it's like for farming singles. Like it's very strange. Also, so I had messaged you earlier today or yesterday and I said, do you know of this word from anything else? And you said no. And then I realized it wasn't exactly that word I was thinking of. So it's not the word bumpkin I was thinking of. And I mean, this is really a podcast for adults anyway, but like now is the time, like please don't let your children listen to what I'm about to say, okay? Because like I'm not responsible for their therapy bills. Okay.
So there's
a word. There's a word called blumpkin. Have you heard of this word?
Blumpkin.
So
no.
It's the same word bumpkin, but put an L after the B. Don't Google it. Don't Google.
Oh, really?
Go on incognito mood if you're going to. Okay. Let me describe to you what this act is, because it's an act. It is the act of like giving someone a blowjob while they're on the toilet. I told you not to Google it.
What is wrong with the world?
I don't know, but that's what I thought. In my head, I conflated the two, but I guess like there could be a bumpkin blumpkin, like if it's like, you know, I don't know, kissing cousins, doing that sort of an act. But it was so close to that word that I was like, this is a terrible name for a dating app.
Yeah, that would be much, much, much worse. But what is wrong with the world that we have to invent these kind of words for these kind of things?
Listen, like, people are into some weird stuff.
Yeah.
And I will be shaming that because that's disgusting. That's unsanitary, yeah. Right?
I don't appreciate you giving me something that you tell me not to Google, because it's like, it's the whole the blue waffle that was back in the day. It's like, don't, please, if you're listening, don't Google that. It's disgusting. But like that kind of stuff, no, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Can we stick with Bumpkin? When you compare the two, Blumpkin and Bumpkin, Bumpkin, fantastic. Yeah. What a great name. Don't change it. It's wonderful.
Yeah. What did you think of Alexis lying to both David and Twyla and saying she was using it for the other one?
I mean, does anyone believe her at all? Like, the amount of almost like shade being thrown to Twyla, like Twyla being this guinea pig of Alexis kind of like wanting to, you know, go out and get some, because oh yeah, Twyla needs to go out because she's not gone out in a while. Oh, Twyla needs help with the dating app. It's like, no, everyone, I think David of all people sees right through it as well. Twyla, unfortunately, I don't think sees through it in the slightest.
No, it's Twyla, you know, we can only expect so much.
So
yeah,
I mean, it's sad that she can't admit it to herself, because like Alexis, she's trying to process this, and she's really still cut up over Ted, and she can't quite fully get her words around it. Like she I didn't think she'd get her mind around it, so she's kind of inventing this weird situation where Twyla needs help dating, and that's why she's on the app, and that's why she just happens to swipe right on Dr. Miguel.
Miguel with and this is like, okay, I, you know, the stereotypical thing about dating apps is like, oh, the man holding a fish or whatever, like why are they always holding dead fish, like why do you think that that's attractive?
Is but, that a thing?
Oh, in America it is, yeah. Oh, sure. Like, because it's like men fishing, like they always post pictures of themselves holding a fish. Like, stop it. And also stop with the group photos, like just point out which one you are, you know. The thing is I will fall back when I was on a dating app. I did fall for the like, oh, the guy took a picture with a cute dog. I'm in, like, instant. Oh, yeah. Right. You know, obviously fish. Absolutely not. Now shirtless with puppies. You're getting every single match available to you. Your nipples are out and you're good looking and you have puppies and you're a vet, which means you make the money. Swipe right. Like everyone's swiping on him. You know, he has his pick of the litter, if you will.
That's a really bad thing to say about that.
You're welcome. But,
no, like, being shirtless on a dating app, though, is like, yeah, okay, it shows off the goods. And for a good time, works. But for a long-term time, no.
It's a Tinder thing.
Be dealing with that. That's so much, like, so much effort and attention. Like, ugh, oh, you're going out for a run, are you? No. Ugh, enjoy yourself. Bye.
Oh my god, the fucking I love to hike. Get out of here. No one likes hiking. Listen,
I like hiking. Not like steep hills, but like a good long walk in the countryside. Wonderful.
That's a different thing, though. That's different. That's okay.
Yeah, it's not like a full on hike.
Like, oh, I love hiking mountains. No, you don't. You're literally just walking in the woods. Like, that's what you're doing. And, like, why do you have to be telling everybody about it? Ooh, I'm so superior. I love hiking.
I'm so connected to nature.
I love yoga. Like, stop. Stop. I just can't. One more person says they love to hike. You don't. I don't like to hike, and I will never lie about that.
Do you think I like to hike is like the millennial version of the boomer, like long walks on the beach? Like, it's that like trope. Yeah.
Loves hiking. Amazing. Coffee addict. Yeah. All that ridiculous shit. Swifty for life. Like, all that basic nonsense.
Wow.
Listen, you can be a Swifty, but like, stop it with the basic bio nonsense, okay? Like, just say something actually real about yourself and make it funny. If it's not funny, not interested.
So I've looked at the demographics for this podcast, and very millennial. So I'm hoping for any of the singles listening, they're being dragged right now.
It's fine. Here's the thing. Listen, you do what you gotta do. You know what I mean? Like, you're out in the wild and you're dating people on a dating app. Like, Godspeed, you know? Like, do what you gotta do. But here's the thing. If I matched with someone and the first thing they sent me was just, sup. No. I'm not replying to that. Yeah. Sup. That's not anything, Stuart. Like, you have to have a good opening line. And maybe, I think Miguel is resting on his laurels. He is resting on his abs and his puppies. Like, he's not putting in any effort because his nipples are out in his photo. So he's like, I don't have to do anything. He's lazy. That's how I feel about him.
Fair play. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, okay, yeah. The acquisition could have gone better, could have been better and stuff like that. The exit, though, spineless. I'm sorry, but, like, why? I don't get it in the slightest of just, like, oh, I have this, like, burgeoning professional respect for Ted. Get out of here. Did you not see who you're talking to?
Yeah, seriously, the minute Alexis walks in, she could literally say, like, I am a serial killer, and it would not matter. Like, get over yourself, Miguel. It makes no sense that he's all high and mighty, especially when he is the one buying whatever this champagne, like, knockoff is. Like, he's dressed, like, okay, but he's definitely not dressed up like Alexis is. Like, mm-hmm. Respect who you're talking to. She is a worldly woman.
I mean, in fairness, Alexis's dress was giving kind of, like, you know, baked potato in tinfoil a little bit.
Oh, certainly. But she looks like she had a conspiracy theory to tell everyone. But, like,
exactly. Still. But the dress itself was awful, but
the hair,
the styling, the general confidence in which she walked in. Yeah.
Yes.
Just hot. Like, exactly. How dare he? How dare he? He deigns to speak with her. He deigns to spend time with her. Like, yeah. He's lucky.
Also, shouldn't he want, like, if you have a rivalry with Ted, shouldn't you want to be dating his ex-fiance? Also, they're exes.
He did say that there's no one else that he would rather see destroyed professionally. So, like, there is a distinction in that. I think he's got, like, veterinary bro code going on here. Just like, oh, no, can't go there.
Bro code it's stupid, okay? It's dumb. It's dumb. No, just because I have an ex that you just happen to know, kind of, sort of, you're not friends with that guy. It's not his call whether or not we date. Like, Miguel deserved to just leave. What a little baby. Like, truly, I can't stand him. Like, it's offensive to me that he is going to hold puppies against his naked chest and then be that much of a douchebag. It's, like, upsetting.
It's a fair take. It's a fair take.
Yeah. So, that's what's going on there. But poor Alexis. She's the one who's going to get stuck with the bill for the stupid fake champagne. Like, that's brutal.
I mean, it can't cost that much. It's champagne.
No, of course not.
Or champagne or whatever.
Although,
it was.
I guess she kind of has a job right now.
Yeah,
like,
I
she's
mean,
kind of PR manager at the motel.
She should be spending all that money on her education, which is where it should all be funneling to. But
right.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, she's got to have some money for that. But yeah, I mean, douche move to, like, leave her with the bill. Douche move to leave. Full
and
stop.
And just walks out immediately.
And also, like, douche move to, like, call her out on her BS and to really kind of draw attention to the fact that, like, she is floundering in still being hung up on Ted and making her realize that a little bit more. Stop bringing pain to her. Like, let her come to that on her own. But,
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Miguel's, we're really weirdly protective of Alexis in this episode.
Because she is a sweet baby angel and she must be protected against people like Miguel. Because, like, every person who's ever been on a dating app has gone on a date with a Miguel. And the Miguels of the world suck. And that's that.
Totally not wrong.
Yeah. So, poor Alexis. I did love at the end of the episode when Johnny and Moira are going through the app on her phone and there's Jebediah. Wait, there's Ray again.
Jebediah.
So funny.
Yeah. Oh. And then I love the fact that, like, Alexis' reaction after they swipe right on Jebediah and they match and then it goes back to Ray and she just, in, like, cathartically, ew! Like, full on. So
you just bumpkined with a Jebediah. I did love Johnny saying, oh, a hookup. That sounds promising, Alexis. He's open to hooking up for dinner and drinks.
So much cringe. No. Oh, that's not what that is.
Oh, one of my wives. Yeah, horrible. This is terrible. I mean, I do feel like this feels realistic for dating in a very small rural community.
Yeah.
This is what you're going to get. You're going to get farmers. You're going to get people holding dead fish. Like, that's what you're getting. You know, it's very limited selection.
Yeah. Yeah, not really selling it, the whole experience. No.
No, I don't recommend it. Really don't.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, but David's love life is also suffering. He is in a depression. He's wearing all black with sunglasses on inside.
Vibe. A vibe. Been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. half there right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, poor buddy. Yeah.
And Stevie is so lovely. She takes her one day off in 2 weeks. And she, instead of going to the spa with Jake, where they can sit in that weird tub in the middle of the room together, she instead takes David.
I can't get over the tub. Sorry, yeah. I know that we should be talking about Stevie taking the tub. Not only was it, so like in the 70s, they used to have these like, I can't remember what they're called, but like the dugout like sofas in the floor. And it's all like to cultivate conversation and things like that. That's what
they call that. Yeah.
I can't remember.
Sunken living room or something.
Yeah, something like that. And it's that vibe, but also has a mirror on top and columns. It's so horrendously ugly. I can't even word how angry I was just looking at it and just going, if yeah. I walked into a room and this is meant to be the celebration of my like marriage that I've just had and I was greeted with that. Oh God, man, I hope the other half is really hot to take my mind off of it. Because that was awful.
It was really bad. Like it was both very tacky and like I can't get over the tub in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Is there carpet in the room?
I think it was.
Ugh! Nothing is worse than like the potential for water to get all up on the carpet. So gross. Like, ugh. And it's just like so, it's so upsetting. And on top of that, so like, you know, I love how much Stevie enjoyed it, where she's just like, listen, it's we get perks when we tell everyone mm-hmm. we're newlyweds and we get the perks.
It's a good drink.
It is. This would not work in the United States because you'd have to pay for all of those perks. But Canada seems real nice. Overly nice, in my opinion. Like, please don't put me at a table that faces out where everyone can stare at me and then throw rose petals at my face.
Yeah, that's an absurdity. And if that ever does happen anywhere, I set fire to the place because that's awful. Like, I don't care. Even if you're, I think even Moira in that situation would have been cringing and hated it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone would have really liked that. I mean, how excited about someone else's marriage can you get? Like, I know people who I love dearly who have got married. I'm never that excited.
I like barely get excited for people I know that are getting married, like, let alone randos, you know? Like, what? You celebrate your love however you see fit, but like, why am I involved in this? Like, I didn't sign up for this at all. And I'm especially not just like clapping for some randos. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we sitting at a table side by side? That's weird. And what exactly is lover's curry? Truly, what about it makes it lover's curry? Because like, I just feel like the way they were reacting to it made me think that whatever gastrointestinal stuff was going to happen after the fact is really not lovely at all.
Maybe it's to test the marriage. So it's like lover's curry. You give it to the newlyweds and you test the extent of which they would want to stay together once they're like, you know, I don't know. I was about to really make a really bad Blobkin joke. But it would probably exacerbate that situation, wouldn't it? Like, oh, that'd be horrendous. So maybe it would test the extent of it. I don't know.
I'm wondering where the toilet was in the room. If the tub was in the middle of the room, was the toilet by itself?
They like
a water closet situation. Hopefully,
like, you have water. It's got to be sectioned off. There's no way you want to like drop a turd.
Stop and then it! Stop, Doug. You don't even need to say anything after droppa. Everyone knows what you mean. You don't need to say droppa anything.
But, like, in the same room, like, if it's not partitioned off, then, like, Stevie's gonna watch David poop. Oh, like, David's gonna watch Stevie poop. And, like, I don't think anyone's here for that. I think I might kill Jess.
No one wants to see that. That's so awful. And, like, they're just, like, hanging out in know if they got any spa treatments. They have like facial masks on, which is probably what makes the like resulting conversation that much better, where they talk about like how they're best friends and like neither one of them has ever had a best friend before. It's like very sweet and also very sad.
Yeah.
Stevie is trying to ask like, well, how come you didn't know about like the fiance? Like, what's the deal? I definitely not David's fault. Like, that is totally on Patrick for not saying anything. But David makes it seem like, well, we didn't really go into past relationships because anytime I've mentioned mine, like, it hasn't gone well.
Yeah, I got from the impression of this conversation, I kind of gave Patrick a little bit more leeway with the whole situation than I did last time we talked about it, because I felt like from what David was saying is that every time it kind of even approached that area, David would take it away. So they wouldn't even get into the realm of the conversations of exes and things. So it like kind of didn't really give Patrick an opportunity to really talk about it. I don't think Patrick would have been willing to bring that forward. So like doesn't get fully off the hook. But I kind of see them both as being completely avoidant of their past and their histories. And so like, I mean, if it was going to happen to anyone, I mean, David did really kind of ask for it in the sense of like, well, let's just not talk about our past and let's see how bad it can get kind of thing.
Right. But
I think it's so kind of good how Stevie talks to Patrick about it and says like, okay, well, why didn't you ask about it? Why didn't you know? And then it kind of prompts them to just have a bit of honesty between the two of them, because they both kind of recognize, oh no, maybe talking about stuff is good. Maybe to acknowledge some stuff is good. And to have David say, I think you're my best friend. It was like, you'd never get that from old David. Like, the barriers would be so high. Like, even when David was kind of, like, David and Steven were, like, hooking up and stuff, I don't think that the barriers were lowered down enough. It's an emotional way of, like, letting someone in that is so, so good to show his growth as a character.
Certainly, and I also think Stevie as well. Like, we've seen Stevie have her sweeter moments, certainly, right? I'm even thinking of not that long ago when Moira, like, there was the rip Moira Rose, and, you know, Stevie's like, well, it seems like a lot of people are, like, sad that you're dead, you know? Like, she has done sweet things. I do think she's the sweetest when she's around David. And I really loved her saying, I know everything there is to know. Like, I know your history. I know about your family. I've, you know, witnessed a lot, and I'm still around. Like, and we know that Patrick is a better person than I am. So, like, what does that say? I like this relationship because it feels so real. It doesn't, there are certain shows, right? Like, and this is not me knocking those shows. I'm just, it like, as a point to prove that this is a different sort of show. It's like, think about like The West Wing or like something else where the dialogue is like very snappy and it feels like a television writer has written it. Whereas I feel like the way David and Stevie speak to one another feels like two friends just having a conversation. It feels so real and genuine. They're not trying to be elevated or extremely intelligent about how they're saying things. They're just plainly saying them. And it is so refreshing because sometimes those other types of shows, and again, this is not a dig at those because that's a different show for a different audience and it's a different topic, but those shows sometimes can like speak down to their audience in a way, whereas this show, I feel like it's an everybody show. Everybody can relate to one of these characters for one reason or another. And to just see two people who have been closed off about relationships in their past and like never really connected deeply with a single person find each other and find a way to kind of trudge past their baggage and connect in this way while also, you know, eating lover's curry and having some bad stuff happen. It's just like really incredible. And I love this. The more I rewatch the show, the more I love David and Stevie's friendship every single time I watch it.
Yeah, and I think when like it does feel so real, like a proper conversation, because it's at the end you do get like kind of a quip. You get like kind of David saying, well, this would be a really sweet moment if what we admitted wasn't so sad. Like that self-deprecating humor that the two of them gel on, but just feels natural. It doesn't feel like it's shoehorned in just to like end on a high note and like to not have an emotional scene, but just like a real scene be real, because we have to remind people it's a comedy. It's like, no, it feels like something the characters would do, because they do deflect from their own kind of like vulnerabilities. Like David, yeah, I'm sure feels weakened in that moment because he's kind of let the barriers down. Stevie's kind of had a peek over, and so he has to kind of like bring them back up with a bit of a shield of humor. But it's a nice, like, it's just a small little shield of humor, and it's the kind, yeah, of thing that they would do. So yeah, everything feels totally, totally natural. I totally agree with you. Like, I think other shows would totally not just allow this to happen. I wouldn't let it breathe, which is what is so great about the choices that they make with this.
Yeah. It just feels so lived in. Like, it feels so real, even though it's ridiculous, right? Like, these characters are outlandish at times, mm-hmm, but also, like, the friendships feel just like they evolve so naturally. Like, we are four seasons in, and I appreciate that the show never rushes anything. The evolution of these characters, it's like, yeah, suddenly you kind of look and you're like, oh my gosh, like, look at this huge step forward. But then you kind of see the seeds and the breadcrumbs that have led to it, you know, four seasons ago. So, oh, I just love it. Anything else about this episode before we get into some feedback?
What was it I made? Oh, just more like, just to jump back, I know we already have, but like, Gene Levy singing.
Oh, he's so good.
He's really good. I just wanted to acknowledge it. He's a really good singer, yeah, it seems.
Also,
the Jazza Gals as well. Like, they were actually cooking. Like, they were so good.
Yeah. So I'd be remiss if I didn't just briefly mention the Eugene Levy eyebrows commercial for the Super Bowl. Just how horrifying it was. Like, never ever in my life do I ever need to see that commercial again.
Yeah. I heard that many of the cast made appearances in all the Super Bowl commercials this, yeah, year. Like, I think Catherine O'Hara was in one. I've only seen the Eugene Levy one. I don't think I need to see
also,
anything.
Also, Twyla, I'm blanking on her name. Obviously, her last name
was on. Yeah, Sarah Levy, she was on the same one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh. So, I mean, good for them. Happy they're getting, yeah, work. But also, please leave his eyebrows on his face. Like, wait, why are we removing them? You know, that's not okay.
I love the fact that the man knows that, like, he has some iconic eyebrows and is going to lean into the humor of it. Yeah.
And I love that Dan Levy inherited those fantastic eyebrows. Because they need to be passed on in this world.
Slightly more groomed, I imagine.
It's a little bit more, yeah. I mean, I think eyebrows are a thing similar. You know how your ears and your nose never stop growing? Like, the older you get, they just grow and grow and grow.
Is that true?
Yes.
I thought that was just a myth.
Oh, no, that's a real thing. You can look. There was a side-by-side picture I saw of a president, but I don't remember which president. And you could literally see the difference in the size of their ears. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
But I think eyebrow hairs are the same. Like, they just get longer as time goes on, you know? I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah. It's sad and scary.
Sad
and scary. Okay, let's get into some feedback. We got a message from Jared. You know you're in Canada, because in the U.S., you'd never get all these amenities without paying a boatload extra for the honeymoon suite. It's, like, incredibly true. Nothing.
And you'd have to tip as well.
I think we started,
which is ridiculous, because of course, if you're at, even if you get the freebie of like getting bumped up to the honeymoon suite, everyone's going to assume that you're made of money because you got the honeymoon suite. So they're going to be like, or you're in a good mood because you've like just got married. So they're going to be like, where's that tip, man? Yeah.
Yeah. I just got back from a vacation. Don't even get me started on the elitism and the bullshittery that happens in this country. All right. When I like boarding planes, this is the dumbest. I'm going to just drop a quick little logic thing for you here. Okay. Tell me why, if you are in like first class or whatever, you have priority boarding. You are sitting at the front of the plane and you are boarding the plane first. Now, number one, makes no sense, because you know what I'm going to do when I walk on and go all the way to the back of the plane where the poor people sit? I'm going to smash into you because you're sitting close to the aisle and they're teeny tiny aisles and you're going to get bumped. So why would you choose? Why are you making the people who have paid the most money sit on the plane for the longest amount of time? Tell me how that makes sense.
Yeah, that doesn't. Like, if I paid like top dollar for like first class seats, I'd want to like have the shortest period of time on that plane.
Exactly.
I'd want,
they should like, board last.
Last boarding, first off.
Exactly.
The cattle can deal with it in their own time.
Yeah. And also don't even let me get started on carry-ons and the fact that planes don't have enough space for carry-ons and they make you check them sometimes now. And it's always the poor people who have non-priority boarding who have to check them. Anyway.
Different podcast.
I can rant about this for ages. April says, I might rather watch Roland clean than hear Stevie talking about Jake celebrating her body again. Yes. So disturbing.
The worst, I thought we had avoided making reference to that line of dialogue. Look, celebrating Stevie's body is, I'm sure, a lovely thing, but I don't need to hear about it. I didn't hear about anyone celebrating anyone's body. Just don't.
I am the same way. Keep that to yourself, okay? That's for you and whomever is celebrating your body, right?
Mm-hmm. You celebrating bodies and blumpkins. Don't need to hear about them. Exactly. Get them out.
Exactly. Oh, we also got an email from CB. Hi, Jess and Stuart. I found your podcast when I started my newest rewatch of Schitt's Creek a few weeks ago, and I've binge listened to it as I've done my rewatch. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Much like many others, I first watched the show during the pandemic. Yes. And it has offered me so much comfort when I have needed it in the years since. Your podcast has similarly been a wonderful escape from the world recently. Oh my gosh, CB, I hope you don't live in the United States. And if you do, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
A couple random things that I've been thinking about while listening. If you haven't already, you should check out the Instagram at Schitt Sheets. Yeah, Schitt Sheets. Sorry, the S made me think it was Schitt's Heats.
Schitt as in the Schitt family surname. We're not talking about something else that bad people do in hotels.
Don't go on that Instagram, I'm sure. No, S-C-H-I-T-T-S-E-E-T-S. The person who runs it has created spreadsheets for every possible category of thing on the show. Moira's wigs, Alexis's adventures, and so much more. I especially think Jess would appreciate it since she loves spreadsheets so much. I mean, you could tell by my reaction.
Fact. Yeah.
Excited about that. Not me instantly finding them and following them.
Merry Christmas to Jess.
Incredible. I know both of you have tried to figure out the timeline of the show, but I always just go into believing that time works differently in Schitt's Creek. If you start to think about the passage of time through the show, it really doesn't make sense. But I think it adds to its charm. Oh, that's so funny.
I think that's true. Oh, yeah.
No, I think you're right. It's like, don't look too closely at it. It's like they said with Succession. Just don't. Just live in ignorance. Plus, you know.
I mean, you gotta remember it's Canada. Time is a bit wishy washy there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the 80s came a lot later to them, so they got catching up to do.
Exactly. Thanks again for creating such a joyous podcast about my absolute favorite show. Warmest wishes, CB. That's so kind. Sweet. Thank you so much for sending in an email. Please send us an emails. We adore getting them. And also, like, valuable information. Like, apparently, there's a whole spreadsheet Instagram I'm not a part of. Like, come on now. Podcast at Talkin' Schitt or at Talkin' Schitt on all social media if you want to find us and send in your feedback. All right, Stuart, are you ready to get into our ratings here?
Yes, but also no, because I'm still, like, it's tough this week. It's really tough. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
simply the best. I feel like I ended up at a different result than where I started with since we started this podcast on who I want to give my simply the best point to.
Okay.
And I do think there are a couple valid options, but ultimately where I'm landing is I'm going to give it to someone who on their one day off after two full weeks, instead of bringing their hot boy toy to a spa to have him celebrate her body, she instead brings her BFF to cheer him up. I'm going to give my point to Stevie. I feel like she is doing all of the work this episode. Like, do you really want to bring a sourpuss on a spa treatment? No, you don't want to hang out with someone who's like not having a good time. But she's willing to do that for David. And I love that about her. So Stevie's going to get my point.
To forgo someone celebrating your body and to use that trip to help your friend who is in need is a very, very good thing to do. This Stevie is the spanner in my plans here, because I was watching it for the first time and I thought, oh, this is the episode. This is the episode where I get to redeem myself and I get to reclaim it. But like, I don't hate him, guys. I don't. Look, I'm giving him an MVP point. And then Stevie comes along and goes, but I'm just a really good friend here. But I'm still going to give it to Johnny.
Yay!
Because his singing was so good.
It was good. And he was very cute about it, too.
Yeah, and I think I'm also like, I'm giving it to him with a slight caveat that is also kind of Moira's point as well, because I think it's more for the fact that Moira was upset about something and just articulated it so clearly to him and so maturely. Mm-hmm. And Moira isn't known for necessarily being the most mature person at all times.
But yeah,
not only did she do that in a mature way, Johnny listened and then acted on it. And I'm sorry, but like, if that's not absolute relationship goals, Jesus, come on.
Yeah, it's very sweet. I love it. Disgruntled Pelican point. Listen, I usually like to reserve the points for people that, like, we know we're going to see a ton, that are main characters on the show, maybe even a side character occasionally. But, like, truly, Miguel sucks so much that I have to give him the disgruntled Pelican point. Like, even this man took a shirtless picture with puppies and I'm still giving him a disgruntled Pelican point. Something is really wrong with him for me to do that. So he did not appreciate Alexis enough and he is going to get that disgruntled Pelican point. Congratulations, Miguel, you suck.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, surely we should be giving these points to people that are going to be recurring characters. I claim this as a recurring character. We saw him shirtless like many, many episodes ago.
Yeah,
I've seen him more than once. Therefore, he more than qualifies. Yeah, get the F out of him, Miguel. You're the worst.
He is the, like, you. Okay. Alexis looks so good. Yes.
So
slightly
good.
Like a baked potato. Slightly looking like she's going to talk
the
about
the hottest baked potato I've ever seen.
Exactly. The hottest baked potato. She had no business. The audacity of her to look that good in Schitt's Creek.
Who gave her permission?
No one. But we love her. So suck on it, Miguel. You're the worst. And you're getting all the disgruntled Pelican points. And lucky for us, Moira has been on a real tear with these wigs. All right. We're going to pull it up on screen. So make sure you're following us on YouTube and make sure you're subscribed. If you're not, don't forget 200 subscribers. We're going to do something. Not waterboarding.
Down here somewhere.
Something. Yeah, it could somewhere in this vicinity.
Something about the doobly doos, if I remember from the Green Brothers. Like somewhere down there.
Something over there. But I love Moira Rose channeling. I don't know. I feel like she's channeling Lord Farquaad mixed with Wednesday Addams.
I was thinking Edgar Allan Poe. This is a choice. That wig is, Farquaad's. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The outfit that goes with it, though.
Maybe it's even, I don't know if you all had these commercials. There was a commercial. Oh my God, was it for Skittles? And there was this man, and he would have that sort of hair, but it was brown. And he would like dance and sing. It was like a candy commercial. And it was there's something there. If someone can unlock this memory for me, I will be forever appreciative. If you know what I'm talking about, please let me know.
Is this something like a Pappy Land situation?
It was, no. Okay. No. I think, didn't he dance? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, Barry, it's Starburst. Apologies. It is not. Okay, I'm going to bring this up on the screen and so you can see what I'm talking about. It was this guy and he used to sing a song and it was like, berries and cream, berries and cream.
Oh, that's where that TikTok comes from.
Oh, I didn't know it was a TikTok.
This became a thing. It was like a year ago. Yeah,
giving berries and cream Starburst guy.
It really is berries and cream Starburst guy, yeah. That's horrid. That's him.
I hate it.
Oh, you've ruined this episode now.
You're welcome, everyone. I mean, it's not my favorite wig of hers, but I love a wig always. So,
I'd take it over no wig. I thought we were going to run the risk of no wig because we've had like a big good stretch of them recently. Still getting more.
Yeah.
I'm liking this trajectory.
Yeah. I always also love always when she's, I liked her tights too. They were giving Beetlejuice or like Cruella de Vil. They were like half white, half black.
Wonder if she swiped them from the set.
She could have. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, it's that time again. We're going to tier rank the episode. I gotta say, coming into this one, I really wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. So I'm curious, Stuart, where do you think this one belongs on our tier list here?
I normally kind of leave these things, but considering that you seemed a little surprised there, what are you thinking? Because I'll be the one to drag it down.
No, yeah, it's tough. Because I think, okay, when we talk about the three separate storylines, right? The Alexis storyline, I think, is pretty average for me. Like, I feel like the Alexis storyline is like a love that journey for me. Like, I don't love it. I don't hate it. Miguel sucks. I like hating people. So that's kind of fun. But like, sure. Yeah. She's still hung up on Ted. More samey same. The Johnny and Moira stuff, I actually liked more than I thought I would, because I think Johnny is extremely sweet. I think what he does is like lovely. And I like Moira saying, I thought I would like this, but you know what? No, I want my stuff separated a little bit. So maybe that's more of like a full bouquet for me. We're like, we're trending up. And then the David and Stevie of it all, I think is like really great. Like, I think they're so lovely together. And I love her trying to pull him out of this funk. I don't think it's hot shit. Like, I don't think it's hot shit levels of cute. I feel like it's more full bouquet cute. So I guess I would probably put it at the tail end of full bouquet, like the very bottom of full bouquet. But that might be too high. Like, maybe it's more love that journey for me. What do you think?
Okay. I tried to say that in the sense of like hoping that you would like gas it up, and I'd be like, great, we can keep where it is, because I thought it was amazing. I'm thinking like high end of full bouquet, possibly low end of hot shit. I love it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's an episode I'll go back and watch loads, which is maybe why I'm thinking more full bouquet. But I think it was a solid episode. I think the Alexis storyline, I would say, is higher than I Love That Journey for me. I thought that was like a better than most of the kind of like C tier storylines that we get. And the others I thought were both A tier. So like, I'd kind of like bump it up that way. So maybe like, as
maybe
a compromise,
above
maybe like middle
Asbestos Fest.
Yeah. Because like Asbestos Fest, I feel like only had the kind of like end bit that was unhinged. Yeah. And that really bumps that episode up.
Yeah. All the Moira stuff in Asbestos Fest is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the barbecue, I mean, it has the drama. It has the comedy and the cuteness of Patrick and David.
Yeah. I think the gasp moment that I had when it turned out that it was Patrick's, and I was like, I don't think anything's gonna like, well, not anything, because I mean, things have been rated higher than that, but I don't think this quite gets over that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree. I like this, and we are like, this just goes to show people love season four for good reason. We have four episodes now in full bouquet. That's incredible. Only one in Love That Journey for me and one in Ew David. Like, that's incredible. So
yeah,
it's a good season. Still on the upward trajectory too. So great. So that's where we're going to land with that. And next week's episode title, Stuart, season four, episode 9, The Olive Branch.
They're making up. Like, surely it's got to be that, right?
What,
like,
is a what literal other olive branch?
Could be something they're selling in the store, maybe.
That'd be so like Rose Apothecary to sell.
I saw a TikTok the other day, and it was one of those like Ring like door cameras, and it was of this husband opening a package, and it was just shouting to the camera, like, because the wife was like watching and shouting at him, kind of like, don't break it. And he was unwrapping it, and it was a like a branch, and he was like, you ordered a twig. She's like, don't break it.
Isn't that what Ted bought when Rose Apothecary
opened?
It's
like a little like twig or something. Yeah,
he's like, I bought the stick. Yeah, you never know, but that's next week, season four, episode 9. We're getting dangerously close to the end of season four, Stuart.
I don't like it. This is like, I kind of feel like the later we get into the seasons, the more I'm getting the urge to binge. But also, I'm kind of feeling that thing with age is that time is going faster the like, more I get to the end, and I'm not liking this at all.
Yeah, soon we're going to be done with season 4, and then we'll only have 5 and 6 left.
And this isn't this season shorter as well?
The season's a little shorter. Well, it kind of, sort of, because it only has 12 episodes, but there's a special. So, you know, you get a little special in there. But that's for next week. That's next week's problem. And ending the podcast, that's future us problems. That's nothing we need to worry about right now. So great for us. In the meantime, if you simply have not had enough of us, go check out Look for the Light, where we're talking about The Last of Us leading up to season 2 of The Last of Us, which is coming so soon and will feature one Catherine O'Hara. Could not be more excited about that. So go check out that Look for the Light pod everywhere you get your podcasts. And yeah, I don't know. Stuart, anything else before we wrap things up here today?
Nope. Just another reminder, send feedback, email us podcast@talkingshit.com. Find us on the socials, Talking Shit. And yeah, if you leave a 5-star review, or like, I believe Jess will read out every single word. Free advertising on the pod, whatever you want.
Do it. Say it. Say what you want to say, but only if it's 5 stars. Even if you like roast us, as long as you give us 5 stars, I don't care what you say. Say anything. So do it. Just do it. Come on. Okay. That's everything, everyone. So until next time, warmest regards
and best wishes.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.